Cessnat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King will jump on board from the NFL owners meetings in Boca Raton, Florida. None better than the Monday morning quarterbacks, Peter King. He will join us coming up in about 10, 15 minutes from Florida at the NFL owners meetings. Looking forward to that. He spoke with Bruce Arians this morning. I want to talk to Peter about the Cardinals' moves with Chandler Jones and Evan Mathis, if he likes the moves that the Cardinals have made here in the offseason. Also, some of the ridiculous comments made by Jerry Jones yesterday about CTE, and he doesn't see that there's been a link there. Just absurd, and he used the word absurd. So we'll talk to Peter about that and some rules changes as well from the NFL owners' meetings with Peter King. John Ireland, a good friend. I worked with John 30 years ago, I think it was, 25 years ago. And now he's the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers and has been the voice for quite some time. Very close with Kobe Bryant. Tonight is Kobe's last game here in Phoenix. He is going to play tonight. I was a little worried about that. Last night he put up 30 minutes in a win. The Lakers actually won a game. They beat Memphis. But Kobe is going to play tonight. And I want to talk to John about, I don't know so much if it's going to be reflecting and waxing poetically about Kobe and the hatred with Phoenix and all of that. And I do use the word hatred because Suns fans hate the Lakers anyways. I'm one of those that I'm right down the middle on this. I appreciate greatness. Kobe is great. Kobe was great. Kobe brought greatness whenever he walked into the arena because the fans were supercharged to hate on him. I've used that term through the years about villain, and that's what Kobe has been, and that sports needs to have the villains. Every time the Seahawks roll into town, you hate on Richard Sherman if you're a Cardinal fan. I admire Richard Sherman because I'm not a Cardinal fan. I'm just somebody watching objectively, which is rarer in these days. But nonetheless, I like to see greatness, and I admire greatness. You know, Kobe and Steve Nash came out together. We forget about that. The two of them were taken in the 1996 draft. And Steve's at the end of his career, and Steve's not happy with me because I pointed out on the air repeatedly that the Suns should have moved on from Steve Nash before they did. I don't think he took too kindly to that, but it was very apparent. And it's very difficult for some teams in sports to do the right thing rather than to sit in a boardroom and say, well, how many fans are we going to lose in the lower bowl of season ticket renewals if we get rid of Steve Nash? And so you end up in the ditch for 6 years and you can point to, well, they ended up getting something for him. Yeah, but there were the years leading up to it where they didn't. And, you know, in Kobe's case, people forget that Kobe had a chance to become a member of the Suns. Remember when his contract was coming up and his close relationship with Mike D'Antoni and Jerry Colangelo, and that there was that period of time where he could have come here to Phoenix, and I'm glad he didn't. I'm happy to see a guy start and finish his career, although he was not taken by the Lakers initially. People forget that Charlotte was involved in this. My memories of Kobe have a lot to do with Rajah Bell and Kobe Bryant. I remember the clothesline incident and Kobe saying, quote, I don't even know who that kid is. It was a great line. And Rajah Bell and Kobe Bryant, I would hope tonight at the game, Jared's going, I'm not going tonight. I've got other things I got to do. Jared's going to go to the game and work on that story. But I'll watch. You know, in this day and age, you don't have to see things. You can go on DVR and check it out whenever you want. I remember game 7 of the playoffs where Kobe wasn't very good in 2006. If you remember, he had the 50, and then in the decisive game 7, he just kind of checked out. I don't know if he had vacation plans. I don't remember what it was. And then there was just all the times that he would stick a dagger into the Suns, and he would stick a dagger into fans. But when you'd watch him play on the court, there was something. It felt different to me than Jordan. It felt really different than Jordan. Jordan would come in once a year because they were in different conferences. So you only had that one opportunity. You didn't have a long, drawn-out playoff series. So you didn't have that opportunity. It's like the rivalry the Suns at one time had with San Antonio. There's no rivalry now with the Spurs because the Spurs kick them in the face every time they play them. The fact that the Lakers are really bad, I mean really, really bad, I think they're going to get better quicker than the Suns are because I trust their organization outside of Jim Buss. I could be wrong on that. Jim Buss could be the same as Robert is over here. I hope tonight that when Kobe comes out on the floor, that there are some people that boo the hell out of him. And then when he comes off the floor in the fourth quarter or however the game finishes up, that there's a standing ovation for him. Because as much as some of you may not like him, he has thrilled you for years. When you get in your car and you've got your Lakers Suns tickets, you probably weren't of the mindset that I'm not going to see something interesting tonight. It wasn't, I don't know, the Atlanta Hawks on a Wednesday night that were rolling in here, or New Orleans, or you know, so many teams in the NBA are so nondescript. It's the Lakers and Kobe. Kobe's in town tonight, not the Lakers. It's Kobe. Some of you probably made some good money off of Kobe Bryant by scalping your tickets through the years. Let's be honest. Those tickets are of huge value. I don't know what it's going to be like for the scalpers tonight. Eric, have you heard, is this game sold out? I've not seen.
I have not heard.
Yeah.
It should be, though, because Kobe is one of sports' greatest villains.
No, yeah, no.
And we love villains.
We do.
Sports needs villains.
Yes.
And why is he a villain? Because he's great. He's not just good. He's not just very good. He's one of the best ever.
Like I find it very interesting that people, the more that you hate on somebody, it's the more they've already won on you. They've already won. You can hate on them all you want in this day and age of Twitter. You can get all over them in social media. Doesn't matter. They've already beat you. They're so that if they're so far into your head that you've got to resort to, I'll show you. It used to be you'd show up with a sandwich board, right, or a sign. Well, now you don't need that. You just go on social media, and anybody can say whatever they want. You can do your little graffiti, except you do it online. And when people hate on Kobe, look, I get it that Kobe and what happened in that hotel room in Colorado will always be there for some people to go after. I wasn't there, so I don't know. And when I look at on the court, I've seen somebody that would take over a game when he wanted to. Even a couple of weeks ago when Cleveland played the Lakers and it was the final time LeBron and Kobe played and the two went after each other. How could you not love that as a sports fan? Not as a fan of a team, but just as a sports fan. Like tonight, who's going to be guarding Kobe Bryant that's going to be memorable that's on this mishmash of a roster? Devin Booker against Kobe Bryant? I mean, is that really something to tune into? What? How's Devin Booker going to do against Kobe Bryant tonight? I don't see that as anything really interesting. Even if Eric Bledsoe were healthy, Brandon Knight on Kobe Bryant? Come on.
I've got bigger fish to fry than Rajah Bell. One of the all-time great Kobe lines, at least here in the Valley. Nationally, it didn't really resonate. But like you were mentioning that whole like quote unquote finger quote war between
the clothesline incident
and Rajah
was
great. Yeah, that was a great time for Suns basketball.
Yes.
That was when the Suns were at the pinnacle.
Yes. Yes. And you know,
memories.
They'd roll in here, Eric, when the Lakers would roll in here with Phil Jackson and Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, you knew weeks in advance that game was coming.
Oh yeah.
You knew. And it was different than when it was Jordan, because it was just the one time a year that Jordan would come rolling in here, okay? And we go back to the teams within the Western Conference. This is when the Suns are relevant, because they're not relevant now. They're not. They play in a building, and they throw some players out there, and they're nowhere as close to being a franchise of relevancy. Other than they say they're a pro franchise. That's it. You know, Kobe is going to play tonight against a team that is just, it's along the way for him. I'm glad that he's going to play tonight. I hope on the video board they show Rajah Bell. How do you not show that? You have to show the times where Kobe beat you, not the times that you beat him over and over. Like if he walks in there and they just show all the great Suns plays that were made against Kobe, you're not being fair to him. You're just saying, oh, see, we got you. You have to be respectful. Should there be a moment tonight in the game where the Suns give Kobe something? I don't know. I don't know what you give a guy like Kobe Bryant through the years. But it's great that he's here. It's unfortunate that both teams stink. It's unfortunate that both franchises are going through the direction that they are. But, you know, that's where we are in this day and age of sports. We haven't figured it out over here. I think they figured it out in L.A. to a certain extent. So that's on my mind tonight. I went and saw a League of Justice last night. You're like, really? Batman, Robin, Brad? So I got to get into that a little bit later on. I took my daughter, and she was full on into it. When that movie is geared towards 20 and 21s and 22s. And the other people that were my age that were dressed up as Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman last night, it was really interesting. It was at the Cine Capri over at Marketplace. And the theater was packed, and the lines were long to get in to see the movie. And it comes out tomorrow night. And there's spoilers all over the place. I'm gonna give some of the spoilers out because I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. All right, Peter King next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King with us now from Boca Raton, Florida. Of course, themmqb.com, and Peter is on Twitter. I could go through the list of stories that I saw over the last few days. You're there. So what is your big headline, big takeaway from Boca Raton and the owners' meetings, Peter?
Brad, we're going to do one Arizona Cardinals takeaway, and then we're going to do one league takeaway. My Cardinals takeaway is sitting with Bruce Arians this morning at the annual NFC Coaches Breakfast. He left no doubt that the Arizona Cardinals will be making a long-term financial commitment to Chandler Jones.
Mm.
Now, that surprised me, if only that now that you've said that, now you got to do it. So doesn't that say to Chandler Jones, I can ask for $94 gazillion a year. They've already said they're going to sign me. But I was surprised at how confident he was. And Arians told a small group of us this morning, hey, listen, you have to have that guy in order to be at the top level in the NFL. And now that we got him, we are not going to let him get away. That would be my local angle. My NFL angle will be, I'll tell you my most surprising thing from here, that the NFL seems to be of a mind to expand instant replay and what teams or what coaches will be allowed to challenge. You may have noticed, I wrote about this at length on Tuesday this week at the MMQB, John Harbaugh giving an impassioned plea to expand replay so that you could actually replay calls that were helmet-to-helmet, hit on defenseless receivers or whatever, because as you know, Brad, those are some of the hardest calls on a bang-bang basis to get right. And so Harbaugh thinks there have been so many of those mistakes made over the last few years that he wants to be able to, to replay challenge those. So what the NFL owners did this morning here in Boca is basically say, okay, we're going to table this and we're going to take it up at our May meeting. And what that means sometimes, Brad, is we don't want to deal with this today. A, or we don't want to deal with this. B, we want to get out of here. C, hopefully people forget about it by the time we meet Charlotte May. But I was told this morning that the NFL is seriously, you know, that they may see, they're going to take a very serious look at the efficacy of this in the next couple of months because there seemingly is no downside to it.
Okay, so let's go back then, and I'll get over to replay. Let's go back to Chandler Jones, and we're with Peter King. He's at Boca Raton, the owners' meetings, themmqb.com. Chandler Jones comes here. Do you like this move, Peter? Are there questions in your mind about the off-the-field incident with the synthetic marijuana at the police station? What do you make out of this deal? When you trade with Bill Belichick, there's always a scratching of the head. Sum it up from your view.
Well, in my opinion, it was a trade that was good for both teams. The Patriots were fairly sure with the defensive end of market or stand-up outside linebackers, whatever you're going to call this sort of edge-rushing guy, the Patriots were fairly sure that they were not going to re-sign him at the end of the 2016 season.
Right.
So if you're not going to re-sign a really good player who's going to sign for $1 billion somewhere else, you have these two options. you can make a trade and get a pick near the bottom of the second round for him, as well as a star-crossed former top 10 offensive lineman, as well as have enough money left over to sign Chris Long. Or you could take, you could have him on your team this year and get the benefit of that, and have a late third round pick in 2018, which is obviously 2 years later from now, because that's when the compensatory pick would come if the Patriots lost them, and they would they'd get a pick in the following year's draft. So to me, it's a no-brainer for New England, at least as far as I'm concerned, because they have other rushers who can make up for his loss. For Arizona, they don't have a young pass rusher of any kind. And Chandler Jones is 26. And yes, he has the pockmark on his resume where he had a bizarre incident that was apparently some sort of substance abuse related at the end of this year. I'm told the Cardinals did their diligence and decided that this was not a matter of habit for him. But the good thing for them is they don't have to sign him now. They can wait till the end of this year, and then they can test him. And not test him, but I mean, I don't mean by drug testing him. What I mean is that they just see what kind of guy he is and see if he gets in any trouble. And the thing about Chandler Jones is that he's not been a guy who's gotten into trouble. And this is apparently a fairly isolated thing with him. So we'll see what happens. But I think the next year gives Arizona a chance to see whether they want to invest a lot of money in them long term.
I look at them now and I see Chandler Jones and I see Evan Mathis on the offensive front. And we don't know yet about what's going to happen in the secondary. But I think, Peter, they're a better team than the one that walked off the field after getting walloped at Carolina. What do you think?
Well, they are a better team, but, you know, Arians talked about this today. I have all the faith in the world in Carson Palmer. He's going to have a short memory. He's going to be fine. He probably is. But I think that if you're the Cardinals deep down inside, if you're a Cardinals fan, you want to see Carson Palmer play well in January.
Yep.
You know, that he is going to have something to prove this year. So, but as far as all the other stuff you're talking about, look, I mean, the only way that their acquisitions this offseason don't look very good is if the Patriots resuscitate Jonathan Cooper's career and he becomes more than just a solid starter, that he becomes a good player. And we're not going to know for a couple of years, probably, Brad. Was it the broken leg, in his rookie year? Was it then the high ankle sprain, I think it was, in his second year? And then this year, a labrum injury or whatever it was. But three injuries and just mediocre play when he actually did play. So, I mean, but, you know, again, the immortal words of Bill Parcells, they don't sell insurance for this kind of stuff. You know, you got to take a chance. The thing I like about Kime and Arians is that they've got the guts to make a call like this, knowing that, hey, it might not work out. And look, they're talking brave and tough and everything about signing Chandler Jones, but there's no guarantee that they're going to sign Chandler Jones. We'll just see.
Peter King with us from Boca Raton at the MMQB, the MMQB.com. You can check out a video that Peter did with Jerry Jones, also with John Harbaugh, very impassioned John Harbaugh that Peter referred to earlier. Appreciate him joining us here for a few minutes from the meetings. The unsportsmanlike conduct, new ejection rule. Do you like this or not?
Well, two things. They only passed it for 1 year this morning because I think that there's a lot of coaches who are skeptical about when you start talking about ejecting players, you know, there are certain categories in the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Like I think I was talking to Bill O'Brien, the Houston coach, today, and he said, what if J.J. Watt gets some sort of taunting penalty, an unsportsmanlike penalty in the first half, and then for the rest of the game, everybody on that other team is going to be trying to bait him into an unsportsmanlike call so that he'll get kicked out. And that is a commonly heard refrain around the grounds here, that a lot of coaches are worried about that, that this could rule could essentially be perverted to an opponent's advantage if they try to pick a fight with a guy. And again, look, J.J. Watt, in this example, he's got to learn to stay away from that. But there's a lot of coaches who are skeptical about this. And Brad, one other thing. People will look at the Odell Beckham Jr., Josh Norman set to
correct
in the Giants-Panthers game this year. And as I wrote on Monday, the startling thing is Odell Beckham got three unnecessary roughness penalties in that game and zero unsportsmanlike calls in that game. So, you know, the refs in that game would have had to kick him out because of something he did on the field. It wouldn't have been automatic. And actually, there's only been two players in the last 3 years who have who would have gotten kicked out under this new bylaw.
One other thing before I let you go, and that is you and I have had passionate talks about CTE and the movie Concussion and the whole overview of this epidemic, in my opinion, not just pro football, but throughout youth football and beyond, of brain trauma. John Mara says this year was a setback before the meeting starts. And then you have Jerry Jones saying it's absurd to say there's a link between CTE and football. These guys on the surface don't appear to be on the same page at all, Peter. And I know the league is trying to do the right thing, but what do you make out of just these comments this week on two different views from owners?
I don't think there's anything wrong with what Jeff Miller said in front of the House subcommittee last week in Washington.
Yep.
Jeff Miller basically said that we believe there is a link between playing football and CTE. He didn't say, understand what he didn't say. He did not say that we believe that playing football causes CTE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not trying to parse words here, but clearly, if you have examined the brains of 94 former NFL players and 90 of them have CTE, then it's clear to say that there's probably a link between CTE and playing football. However, and this is a major however, and Jerry should never have used the word absurd, because that's
absurd.
That's quite frankly absurd.
Yeah, right.
But the one thing about what, I mean, Jerry's point very clearly was, first of all, we don't know absolutely for sure that 90% of the people who have played in the NFL in their lives would you know, when they die and their brains are examined, would be found to have CTE. In fact, I doubt sincerely that they would, and here's why. Those 94 people whose brains were examined, what do they have in common? They all, I mean, the vast majority of them, they all either kind of, and I'm going to exaggerate here, they had some mental problems or, you know, lost control of their mental faculty.
Right, right.
Or had dementia or something like that. And so, you know, the players over time who basically, you know, go and live to 70 or 80 years old in a fairly normal life, and maybe occasionally they forget their car keys, but so do I. And so, I mean, I think what has happened now is that Jerry Jones is trying to say, everybody, hey, slow down this freight train that says that everybody who plays football is going to be brain damaged. And I think he's right in that way, because I don't know yet whether the vast majority of people who play NFL football are going to one day be found with CTE. I think that is a huge level jump. And one last thing. Even Ann McKee, who has done, I believe, all or at least the vast majority of the brain examinations of deceased former NFL players, will tell you that the study is not a conclusive or real study, because most, if not all, of the 94 former NFL players have who have you know, been examined by her were symptomatic. So if you're asking me what I think that a long career in the NFL, and there's a very good chance you're going to have CTE as you grow old. But very good chance is not fact.
Right.
And so I think there needs to be more brains examined before we can come to that conclusion.
I appreciate the time and the insight as always, Peter. Thanks.
Thanks a million, Brett. Take care.
You too. There's Peter King, Boca Raton, Florida, right there at the NFL Owners Meetings, themmqb.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well. Good stuff there. We could have gone another 15 minutes, easy. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. It is a great Wednesday. Kobe and the Lakers tonight in town. Later in the show, John Ireland, the longtime voice of the Los Angeles Lakers, will be with us on Kobe's last game here. And much, much more. Stay with us. Right, if you missed any part of today's show, Peter King from the NFL Owners Meetings in Florida, or the next voice you hear, which is John Ireland, the longtime voice of the Lakers and a good guy. You can find that, of course, on our podcast on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona tonight. The baseball show on Fox Sports Net, I believe, three or four times in three or four regions tomorrow. As promised, though, the whole sports world today is about Kobe Bryant's last game against the Suns. I'm pleased to hear that he is playing tonight because he had heavy minutes last night, heavy for him in this final year against Memphis. And I wasn't quite sure of that. Eric says that he is going to play. Not that I'm doubting you, but John Ireland joins us now, the longtime voice of the Lakers. Kobe is playing, right?
He is playing. And he used the phrase, would not miss it.
Where does Phoenix rank in terms of his cities where he has something that was always there against another team?
Well, I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of a Suns fan, he's right at the top.
Yep.
I was looking at this, you know, getting ready for this game last night on the plane, and Kobe scored about 1,600 points. He's played 63 regular season games against the Suns. So he's almost basically played a whole season here when you add the 23 playoff games. So he's played 86 games against the Suns in his career, and he scored over 2,300 points, which puts him only behind one guy ever for most points against Phoenix, and that's Kareem. Mm-hmm. And Kareem scored all those points basically because he was the NBA's leading scorer and played in the same division. But in terms of a villain for you guys, for a rival, I would say he's got to be right at the top. Matter of fact, I laughed, Brad, when I'm kind of a numbers geek, and I was looking at how many points Kobe had scored in the playoffs against the Suns. And the exact number is 666.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. No, that's good. That's really good. Rajah Bell against Kobe Bryant. Give me guys that Kobe's gone against through the years that were a thorn in his side. I don't know if Rajah was a thorn, because you know, Kobe had the great quote about Rajah. I don't even know who that kid is, and they had some other lines about him. Where does Rajah Bell and Kobe rank?
The fastest way to earn Kobe Bryant's respect is to fight him. It's funny, everybody who ever got into a scuffle with him, later Kobe tried to get our front office to go and get. For example, he had a fight with Matt Barnes when Barnes was playing in Orlando, and Brady came out the next week and said, it was kind of a famous quote for those of us who cover the Lakers, he said, anybody crazy enough to F with me, I want with me. And that's kind of the way he thought of Rajah Bell. When Rajah was available a few years ago, Kobe lobbied hard for the Lakers front office to go get him. I think he saw a huge sign of respect for anybody that wouldn't back down from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, Brad, he, you know, with a basketball, you hear the word, and you know, this is a word you shouldn't probably use in sports, but it's just been used with him so many times. You hear the word assassin.
Yep.
You know, that he just, the difference, I was told, somebody had a good line about this, a buddy of mine works in Cleveland on the Cavs broadcast team. And he said to me once, LeBron wants to win, but Kobe won't be happy until he kills you. You know, it's not enough for Kobe to win. He needs to destroy his opponent. And so when he saw somebody like Rajah that understood that and was willing to go through a wall or to fight him in order to win, you immediately earned his respect. And so I think that if you ask, like last night we played against Tony Allen, who Kobe says was the best individual defender that he's ever gone against. And I don't think it was a coincidence, Brad, that Tony Allen played the best game of his life last night, his entire career.
Sure.
He was 12 for 12 for 27 points. But the Lakers ended up winning the game. But I just think he was, you know, Tony Allen gets so jacked up to play Kobe that he, you know, he wants to have a great game. If Rajah was still playing, I think you would find the same thing, that he would actually look forward to these games.
John Ireland with us, voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. He also has a midday show with Steve Mason on ESPN Los Angeles. And he will be doing tonight's game with the Suns hosting the Lakers. I wish that the Suns had somebody of relevance to guard him defensively tonight. No offense to Devin Booker. I think he's going to be a good player, but come on. Not in Kobe Bryant's final game here in Phoenix, or even the rest of this roster, which isn't very good. Has it been hard for you? Because you, let me phrase it to you this way. How did you earn his respect? You two have a relationship. We've seen it through the years. Doesn't matter if it's you interviewing him after a game on SportsCenter. I think it was in Toronto one time where he went off, and some other places where you've earned his respect, and yet you're the play-by-play voice now. I know your relationship didn't start that way as you the play-by-play guy, but how did you earn his respect?
This is an interesting story. I'll shorten it, but sure. It in the beginning, when he first got to the Lakers, we were always cordial, but we didn't have any type of connection. And then we both had kids in right around the same year, right around 2001. My son Jack was born, and his daughter Natalia was born. And one day we're in an airport, and we were going, I think we're in Toronto, where you have to go through security. So both these kids weren't even one yet. And Kobe said to me, I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "I'm okay." He goes, "My wife is getting bummed out because she just, Natalia never lets her sleep. Like, she can't even get like 20 minutes during the day." Mm-hmm. And Brad, your kids are a little older, so I don't remember if you lived through this phase, but there was a phase, and these things aren't around anymore, but there was a thing called baby Einstein videos.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Einstein, baby Neptune, baby yep. Galileo. Yep. Basically, there were colors and shapes, baby Mozart. You know, they use classical music. And I said, I just happened to have one of those DVDs in my backpack because my son was having trouble sleeping, so I bought one for my wife. I said, "Hey, I don't know if it'll work for Natalia, but these work for Jack, and it'll buy your wife 23 minutes, and she'll feel like it 2 days." And the next day he came up to me with a big smile on his face. He goes, "Man, I just went to the store and bought the whole series." He goes, "We put it in. She sat in front. My wife took a shower." And after that, Brad, we've been great ever since. Isn't it weird how the, like, things that have nothing to do with anything will connect people?
That's true. That's true.
And I also think that I you know, he knows I grew up a Laker fan. He actually grew up a Laker fan. So, I mean, at our heart of hearts, we kind of, although we realize we both have to ask, you know, have conversations that may not be pleasant occasionally, he knows that at the end of the day, I'm kind of pulling for him and that I want him to do well. And so it's been, my timing was good. I got to Los Angeles in 1995. And I got Magic Johnson's last year of his comeback, his post-HIV comeback. And I was in the room the day they traded for Shaq and basically traded for Kobe on draft day. So I've been there for his whole ride.
Has this year been hard for you then to watch him try to play, or the last few years where you see the guy at the end of his career? Like, it was hard for me to watch Steve Nash at the end over here. It was really hard. How hard has it been for you?
Well, imagine how Laker fans feel about Steve Nash, because we got maybe 2 days of him.
No, it was obvious he was done, John. It was obvious he was done 2-3 years before that. That's the hard part.
Yeah, you definitely can make that argument. The only thing I'm disappointed about is the thing that, you know, we've been doing a lot of Kobe farewell type stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, talking to people, looking back, and the only thing that I would say, and I've begrudgingly admitted this, is that when he was Kobe for the first 17 years of his career, Brad, every night I went to work, I had this aura of anything could happen. that I had seen him so many times, it could be a remote Monday night in Milwaukee, which looked like a garbage game, and he could go off for 60 points.
Sure.
Or we would be down by 15 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And, you know, most any other announcer and any other team has checked out by then. But we couldn't. Michael Thompson, who I do the games with, and I could never check out because, and I started using his name as a verb. I said, you got to hang on, folks. He could Kobe this game. Mm-hmm. And he would take the ball and take over and all of a sudden a 17-point deficit was gone. And those days are now over. He doesn't do that. He had one game this year in Washington where it was kind of like Jack Nicklaus last Masters came out of nowhere and he somehow rolled back the clock and did it to the Wizards. But those, you know, that was kind of his signature. He was an unbelievable attraction. It was like going to a concert or a show and you never knew what he was going to play.
No. It's like when Randy Johnson would take the ball every fifth day. You know, or
right.
Or Charles, when Charles was in his prime here, when I first got here in 93, you just didn't know what's going to happen. I totally get where you're coming from. Lastly, I'll let you go off this. We're talking with John Ireland, voice of the Lakers. I appreciate his time today on game day. What's going to happen with this organization? Is Jim Buss going to get pushed to the side? Are they going to work through this? Do they feel like they have a base here with Russell and some of these other players, Clarkson and the like?
It's a great question. What Jim has done is, and this is almost like out of a soap opera, he's put himself on a clock. He was doing an interview with the Los Angeles Times, I think it was now almost 3 years ago, and he said to Mike Bresnahan, our beat writer, he goes, look, I know all the Laker fans are unhappy. I'll tell you this. If we're not competing for the Western Conference Championship in 3 to 4 years, I'm stepping down, and you can hold me to that. And Mike looked at him and said, Jim, I want to make sure you know I'm going to print this, right? He goes, I want you to print it. He said, and then immediately Laker fans, Brad, pulled out calendars and started saying, okay, what does that mean? Even in its most extreme, okay, and what it means is by the end of next season was the end of his timetable. By the end of the 2017 season, if we're not competing in a loaded Western Conference, Jim has promised to step down. And every interview that Jeannie does, she said, they say to her, well, why don't you fire Jim? The Lakers are a mess. She said, Jim has put himself on a clock. Mm. Jim has told me if he doesn't have this right by the end of the 2017 season, I'm bringing somebody else in to run basketball. And so he's literally like, it's almost like a movie. It's a guy working against a clock. And so this offseason is critical for him, for Mitch Kupchak, for anybody that works in our front office, because Jeannie has promised to honor that timeline, and so has Jim.
I'd like to get Robert Sarver to get that same agreement, but that's just me. So.
You know, I'll say this, I know you got to go. I had a long talk with Tim Kempton the other day, who I really like, and
yeah.
You know, I go way back with Ann Myers, and I've had long conversations with both of them. And I'll just say this, because I know your audience is in Phoenix. When the Suns were clicking, during the Planet Orange days when D'Antoni was coaching and Nash had the keys to the car, this was the number one destination spot for those of us who travel in the NBA. It was the funnest place to go. The games were the most fun to watch. It was there was a buzz in your building that was genuinely fun. And even if you came in and got beat, you said to yourself, man, is that fun basketball to watch. And I hope whatever Robert Sarver does, that somebody buys him some DVDs and says to him, look, this is what this can be. I know that he keeps trying different things and most of them haven't worked, but this is what this can be. You have the building and the fan base to recreate Camelot, but you have to do it differently than you're doing it. So I hope somebody he respects gets in his ear and shows him that, because Brad, you and I were both there. And now I'm removed from it. I used to like genuinely get excited 2 to 3 days before I ever got into Phoenix.
Sure.
And now you guys are like us. You're just another team at the bottom.
Yeah.
So I hope both the Lakers and the Suns get their act together.
It's not fun. Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
You got it, man. Have a great day.
It's John Ireland there, voice of the Lakers. Always good to catch up with John, one of the really good guys in the business. Kobe tonight. I hope Kobe scores 50. That'd be great. That would just be awesome. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and you can boo the hell out of him tonight. I mean, you should. But cheer him the one last time he goes off the court. There's no reason why to hate on somebody who for years and years and years has given you something to look for. Almost 20 years. When he rolls in, everything stands still for a night. Thanks for being with us.